Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Welcome to the Thursday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, those blogs do go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so if you missed yesterday, you can swing on over there and check it out. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you got to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we appreciate that. But don't forget, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
All right, now Dan, I thought of a hypothetical question that would be right up your alley, I believe. So I wanted to run it by you for the start. You know, the Cubs, as we know, they're returning home from where are they? Who'd they just play? Oh, Pittsburgh. They were just in Pittsburgh. But they're returning home to play San Diego tonight. And I think it's a 7 o'clock or a 7:05 start. Now, interestingly, in Chicago, they schedule these protests where they try to shut down major roadways, and they're doing that today. They're trying to shut down one of the major tollways with a protest that a lot of people use to go back and forth to Wrigley Field. So, Dan, this is my question for you. Say you're a family of four, and you were able to get tickets to this game because it's the Padres. So, you know, you spend your money on tickets, you're on your way downtown, and this protest holds you up, and maybe you miss some of the game or you miss all of the game. Could you legally sue the organizers of this protest because they prevented you from getting to your event?
I would try. I'm sure there's a lawyer that would try to tackle that. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, but, you know,
good. But that would definitely be something I would be involved in.
Yeah, it just kind of popped into my head because I was thinking, you know, we're getting closer to school starting. You know, that was one of the things we always did with my family is, you know, myself, my mother, and my father, we would go to a game. One at Wrigley and one at Comiskey. And yes, it was Comiskey when I went to games there, so relax. You know, before school started, that was, you know, kind of a couple of our summer outings. And yeah, I was just kind of thinking, you know, what if some family is out there and they've spent a couple $100 now because it's expensive to get tickets. And, hey, you know, they're driving down because they live in the suburbs like, you know, we used to live. And it would have been difficult to, you know, take the train and do all the stuff that went with it. And they can't get to the game, you know, because of this protest. And, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, you and I were talking a little bit about Mr. Fantasy off the air. You know, for a guy like him, you know, losing that kind of money isn't that big a deal. But, you know, but for a guy like me, you lose a couple $100, that's a huge deal. And, yeah, I was just wondering if they had any resort or, you know, any possible claim to this. So basically, this was their reason for not getting there.
You know, I sadly, I don't think you could. They would get anything out of it, but I think it would set a precedent for protesters. You know, because I mean, at the end of the day, you know. Civil suits are filed all the time. You know, it's just, you know, one of the most famous ones was OJ. I think, I don't know if it was the Cole Brown family, but I know it was Brian Goldman's family. He's been in one civil case, but I don't know if they've ever gotten paid you know, the millions of dollars or whatever, you know, was the result. But I hear that all the time where, you know, civil suit comes up and, you know, the drunk driver that kills your family member is set to pay, you know, $1 million, let's just say, and, well, the guy lost everything because he went to jail, lost a job, you know. So they never end up getting the payment. But I think it was set a precedent. And, you know, because you, in this country, you do have your right to protest. But when it interferes with, you know, commerce and things like that, you know, and just family out to have fun, you've got to imagine that if they could win a suit like that, it would just change the way people protest.
Yeah, because, you know, even in, like, you know, I was just kind of trying to relate it to sports. Obviously, that's what we do here. But, yeah, I always wondered if, like, say somebody got stuck in one of those protests on their way to work and got fired because they were late for work, if they would have any, you know, any repercussions, because you basically just lost your, you know, your livelihood because, you know, you got stuck here. You know, because I know the last protest, they weren't allegedly going to shut down all lanes of traffic, and then they did anyways. So, you know, you could have gotten out an expressway thinking you had a way around because they weren't going to close the whole thing off, and you get there and it's closed up. So, but yeah, I don't know why that was popped into my head.
Apparently, the plan necessary for the trip this morning was to shut down a couple lanes on the southbound side, so that I guess they're planning on entering towards Wrigley Field.
Yeah. Well, that's what made it pop into my head, because I know they're gonna be right there, and it was just kind of like, well, wow, you know how? And I know. And they should have already started. They were originally going to start it at 4 o'clock and end at 7. So getting out of there shouldn't be too bad. But yeah, getting to Wrigley Field today could be a big issue. Yeah, and I, you know, like I said, I was just kind of curious. Cause, you know, I got to tell you, Dan, I'd be livid if I spent a couple $100 on tickets for me and my family and I couldn't get there.
Well, it's interesting that, you know, with mob movement going on, that they're not protesting down that street.
Yeah. Well, maybe they didn't realize, you know, Lollapalooza was going on or something. Who knows, you know.
Oh, no.
I don't
know, but
I didn't see the name attached to it.
You know, the protesters are aware that they're planning on getting arrested, so it could go to that level. Which, I mean, I don't really know the rights or protesters, but I know if you don't have authority or whatever it is from the city, Chicago, that you can't just shut down the street and they can't arrest you.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, this happens so much, I don't know what they're protesting. So.
Yeah, well, you know, I remember 10 years ago when I was in broadcasting school, there was a huge protest in Chicago, and I couldn't tell you what it was about, but when they interviewed people on the news, it just completely demolished the entire reasoning behind the protest, because people didn't even know why they were protesting. There were people in my class. There was one girl in particular who had brought her video camera down. You know, this is before we had, you know, phone cameras. And said she was going just to be a part of the experience. She wasn't there to protest. She just wanted to be there.
Yeah, and I know people who do that. They go just to videotape it and see what it's like. So, yeah, no.
You know, today everyone hopes that their video is the one that goes viral. You know, that's all they're trying to get.
And enough of that. Let's get on to some baseball here, Dan. I had some fun stuff here. They went out and they took a poll on league MVPs. They had 30 votes, Dan. In the American League, out of those 30, How many did Mike Trout get?
27.
Close. He got 25. All right, so Mike Trout trumps the competition again in the American League MVP. Now, here you go, Dan. Trout has played in 109 games this year. He has scored 82 runs. Mookie Betts has played in 89 games. He scored 84 runs. Trout has 115 hits. Betts has three more. Now, again, we're talking about a guy who's played 20 less games. Trout has 21 doubles. Betts has 27. They both have three triples. Trout has five more home runs, 30 to 25. Trout has four more RBIs, 60 to 56. Trout has walked way more. Trout has 99 walks to 48 for Betts. But Trout has also struck out 97 times to Betts 54. Trout has 21 steals to Betts 20 steals. Betts is hitting 338. Trout is hitting 309. Betts is on the best team in baseball, and Trout is on a team that's not even going to sniff the playoffs. How the hell is he the MVP, Dan?
Well, you're forgetting the absolute most important stat of them all.
I don't care what his WAR is. I'll end the podcast right now if you bring that up. Oh.
Not just his all WAR, but his WAR for position players and his offensive WAR is number one.
Yes.
In AL.
And I find WAR to be very offensive. Yes. So yeah, I mean, I'm looking at this. So what were these morons looking at? I mean, do they just automatically write them in number one? That's how it works.
Pretty much.
So.
Hold on.
You know, I mean, there's just. you know, like Jose Ramirez ended up third. You know, he's had a good year. He's hitting 301. I believe he leads the league in home runs with 32. You know, he's got 78 RBIs, and he's the steals leader, by the way, as well, 25. So you could even be comparable to him with Mike Trout, you know, kind of looking at it as, hey, you know, what's going on here. But, yeah, I clearly think Betts has been the best player in the American League this year. And it's nothing against Trout. He's probably the second best player. But he's not the MVP. You got to get your team in the game playoffs to be the MVP, don't you?
That's kind of what I thought. I mean, well, and that's not just, you know, you and I thinking that. That's kind of always been what everyone's talked about as well.
Except
oh,
what
yeah, you know, oh, Nolan Arenado's had a great year. How many times have we heard that? But he's what?
Yeah.
Not on a playoff team.
Right. So, you know, again, for some reason, Trout is the exception to the rule. And, again, he's having a really good season. It's just better than Mookie Betts' season. I don't even know if you'd consider it better than J.D. Martinez's season. You know, another guy who's hitting 23 with 32 homers and 89 RBIs on the best team in baseball. And trust me, I'm not a Red Sox fan. I hate everything about the Red Sox and the Yankees. But these guys have played real well. You know, Altuve's had another solid year, but he's only got 9 homers, so you can write him off, and now he's injured. So, that you know, that's not going to happen. But, yeah, I saw this, and I thought – I honestly believe that these 25 guys should probably have their vote taken away because they've got no right casting a ballot.
No, I've got an interesting one for you, Big Jack. So you mentioned Mike Trout has 99 walks. You know, this is not just against Mike Trout, but with the new rule that is in place where you no longer pitch. You know, you no longer throw the four pitches. Shouldn't they just erase the intentional walk?
Yeah, probably.
You know, because, I mean, think about this, okay? You're a pitcher. And not that walks really affects your stats at all, but, you know, the decision to intentionally walk comes from the manager. And now that you're no longer throwing pitches, I feel like that category should just be completely eliminated. You know, it already doesn't count as an at-bat, a walk, or an intentional. So why, you know, why boost a player's stats by giving them that intentional walk? Yeah. You know, not separating it. If it's going to be an intentional, it should just be its own category altogether. It shouldn't be included within the walks, which, by the way, he's had 20 intentional walks. So that would bring him down to 79. And, that brings him, you know, down to where everyone else is. Kind of, well, you know, they still have the most walks. I know that's just completely off the topic, but I'm kind of with you. I mean, why is it that the mothership, MLB Network, they all promote this guy as the best player in baseball? And it killed me one night. I was watching an Angels game, and he made a routine catch in the warning track. And they were just boasting about how great his defense was.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you put him up against Ian Happ and Kyle Schwarber, oh, yeah, he's the greatest defensive player to play the game. These guys are still trying to figure out how to play the outfield.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and it's not that he's not a great player, but there's a difference between being a great player and being the MVP. And he's not it this year. You know, he probably deserves to finish second to Betts, but I don't know if these idiots will see it, because all they're looking for is to give him the award. They're not looking for anything else. You know, they're not looking at anybody else. They're not looking for anybody else. As long as Mike Trout puts up solid or average numbers. Remember last year they tried to give it to him. He played in 111 games because he was hurt. And they wanted to give him the MVP award. It's like, really?
Well, I mean,
what the hell do they have to do to win one of these things? You know, they really should have been his second in a row last year.
Yeah, I mean, don't you feel like this award shouldn't be a baseball writer's award? I mean, why not let them have their, you know, our favorite player award?
Yeah. So, well, that's what really should be titled, when that award. Well, especially in the American League, who's your favorite player? You know, like the National League voting I saw made a little sense. They had Freddie Freeman nudging out Nolan Arenado by 1 point. Oddly, they had Lorenzo Cain finishing a distant third. So, again, I'm guessing they forgot to check Christian Yelich's stats, because he's probably been the Brewers' player and deserves a little consideration. So, I wasn't as upset there with, you know, what they managed there. I would assume, you know, Nick Markakis a little consideration. He's leading the National League in hitting. But Freeman, I think, is the best player on that team. There's really nobody else having a fantastic year. I assume Javi Baez gets some votes, though, don't you?
Oh, yeah. This definitely is his year.
There's guys like Javi Baez, Matt Kemp, I think, will rack into votes with the year he's had. You know, I don't think any of these guys will win it. It probably is between Freeman and Arenado. I don't know. Do you have a favorite? Did we leave somebody out? Was there somebody you like over in the National League?
Chris Bryant. I like the way Javi's been playing this year. I just think what's gonna keep him from, you know, really making an impact or taking that over is the fact that he isn't considered really an everyday player. He doesn't have a standard position.
Yeah, well, you know, the humorous thing is when you look, I mean, guys like Scooter Jeanette and Eugenio Suarez are having really good years in Cincinnati. But you know what you're going to hear, Dan, is, well, they're on a playoff team. Because it'll matter then. It doesn't matter for Mike Trout, but it's better when it comes for, you know, and then they'll probably say, well, Trout's been contended for a while. Yeah, whoopee, so did everybody at the beginning of the year. So, but yeah, I definitely think, you know, somebody could jump out and run away with the National League MVP if they got hot here going down the stretch. You know, there's really no runaway candidate at this time. So, but yeah, I was disappointed. I didn't see them do anything on the Cy Young. I was wondering who they were.
Oh, shit.
Disappointed. What'd you do? Fall down?
No, I thought I was at the wrong train station.
Oh. You forget to get off the train. You fall asleep on the train. You get off at the wrong stop.
Almost. My heart just jumped. Or skipped a beat. Whatever you want to say.
Yes. But then, you know, I had to go searching for these stories because, you know, there's only one important thing starting tonight, Dan, that covers the entire weekend. What is it?
The Bears versus the Ravens. Better yet, Hall of Fame game?
No, come on, you know. So.
Oh, well, the rivalry just heated up with all their additions.
It did? Didn't heat up for me.
Which I laughed when I read this article. Well, I just looked at the article headline. Is that I didn't really feel like the Yankees and the Red Sox made that big a splash in the trade. Did I miss something?
Well, you know, the Yankees, did the Red Sox make a move? Yeah, they went out and got Nathan Eovaldi. But neither of them went out and really got like a frontline guy. But you know, it's the Yankees and the Red Sox. So as long as they make trades, that's all that matters.
I mean, still a series that I know you love to watch whenever, especially when it's a four-game series.
But yeah.
I mean, to say that it heated up even more because of additions. I feel like the Brewers made a big splash.
Yeah, the Dodgers made a pretty big splash.
Yeah. You know, so, I don't know, to go with that headline, it's great for headline grabs.
Yeah, and of course, you know, all four games will be televised. I think the first two are on MLB Network. Saturday it's the FS1 game, and then of course Sunday it's the Mickey Mouse Sunday night game. The biggest news coming out is after another horrible outing last night, the Yankees are skipping Sonny Gray to the bullpen, and they're going to give Lance Lynn his spot in the rotation. So you know that's about the biggest news coming out of this, isn't it? I mean,
yeah, but you know that was one of those. You know, being at the Yankees, it was such a great move that they made when they picked him up, but I never really bought into that one.
But, you know, he had one really good year in Oakland, and he's one of those guys who just kind of always had some potential, and it just never turned out. So, but like even now, I have the MLB Network on in the other room, and that's all they've been talking about. You know, this series. But yeah, tonight we get your guy CeCe going for the Yankees. He's going against Brian Johnson. The games are in Fenway. Here's the lineups, Dan. Nothing, I think, too exciting. We got Aaron Hicks leading off in center. Giancarlo Stanton is spent second and right. Your guy Didi Gregorius is hitting third, playing short. Gleyber Torres is the Yankees cleanup hitter at second base. Miguel Andujar bats fifth at third. Greg Bird hits sixth at first. Luke Voit is the DH tonight, hitting seventh. Austin Romine does the catching and hits eighth. And Brett Gardner hits ninth and plays left field. The Red Sox, again, pretty much what you've seen out of them all year. Mookie Betts leads off and right. Andrew Benintendi hits second and left. Steve Pierce hits third at first. J.D. Martinez is hitting cleanup. He's the DH. Of course, Ian Kinsler was one of the other guys they acquired. He's hitting fifth at second. Eduardo Nunez is sixth at third. Blake Swinehart is catching tonight, hitting seventh. Brock Holt playing some shortstop. Your guy Bogart's getting the night off. Holt's hitting eighth, and then Jackie Bradley Jr. hits ninth and plays center. So I don't know. Were you excited about any of those? I did find it interesting the Yankees are hitting rookies in the 4 and 5 slot. Oh, no, did we kill Dan? Or was the conductor popping again? So,
yeah, I muted it so you wouldn't have to get drowned out. As I was saying, well, you know, the best hitters on the team bat first and second, so fourth and fifth doesn't really matter anymore. But, no, I mean, that's the thing, like, with the Yankees, I still think the way these two teams have been playing this season, it does make for an exciting series. But I would say that with the lineup that the Yankees have and the roster that they have, minus Aaron Judge right now, who's hurt, I think it really should be the other way around. You know, the Yankees should just be running away with this division, not the Red Sox. But the Red Sox also have a pretty damn stellar lineup going, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I really think they're probably, you know, if they're not the best two teams in baseball, they're two of the best three, you know, depending on where you slot the Astros. But I really think, you know, the Yankees, the Red Sox, and the Astros are probably the top three teams in baseball. So you would think the American, you know, the World Series winner is going to be an American League team again. But, you know, you do never know. So, you know, we'll have to see. Yeah, it will be interesting to see how your guys Kesey goes, you know, goes tonight. You know, luckily, since it's the MLB Network game, I think I just John Smoltz and Bob Costas, so I don't have to listen to either of the Yankees or the Red Sox guys. I get some time off from Michael Kay at least. But the Red Sox guys aren't much better. I've heard enough of them as well. So we'll see how it goes. But I don't know. It's a 4-game series, Dan. You know, the Yankees are trying to catch them. Do they have to take 3 out of 4?
Oh yeah, they need to take 3 out of 4.
So, but now okay, now then we move on to that. Will they take 3 out of 4?
I don't think so.
No.
I think
right. Well, there's our Yankees.
I think they'll split. If they're lucky.
Yeah, probably. So, yeah, you know, and it's funny because panicking about Chris Sale because, you know, he's on the DL. And I honestly think the Red Sox just put him on the DL to get him off and rest him for the playoffs because they put him on with shoulder inflammation, which is swelling, which I have every day in all different parts of my body. So, you know, I have knee inflammation every day. I have it right now. So, you know, I don't think it's serious. There's no structural damage. I honestly think it was just an excuse to give him a blow and rest him up for the playoffs.
I mean, they're not breaking any rules. So, do you really argue this case? Right, well, you know, number one, you can't really prove it. But, you know, I kind of think it's not a bad thing to do.
No, well, you know, like I fully expect if the Cubs are able to pull away from the Brewers, they'll do the same thing with John Lester like they did, I think it was last year or 2 years ago, where they, except the only problem the Cubs' excuse made was they actually put down that he needed rest. You got to make up an injury, which is difficult to do. So, you know, I mean, there's so many goofy things that happen. It's not, you know, that big of a deal. But, yeah, I fully expect, you know, like I wouldn't be surprised to see Cleveland check Corey Kluber down, you know, with the lead they had, maybe put him on the 10-day DL, give him 10 days off, let him relax a little bit. You know, they come up with, you know, again, well, he's got some shoulder inflammation or he's got forearm tightness. You know, those are always some good ones.
Well, you know, don't forget the GBS. He's got the GBS.
Yes.
General body.
Or what did Carlos Zambrano have from being on the computer too much? Did he have like wrist tendonitis or something?
Yeah. Oh, that was a good. That
you know,
was
maybe they. Maybe they can say they were playing too much Fortnite, and he's got like a hyperextended thumb or something. You know.
Yeah.
Oh, but all right. Well, since, you know, Dan, it is Thursday. We had three early games. So here's the quick finals and what went on. The Tampa Bay Rays beat Mike Trout, who I don't think played because I actually think he's hurt, and the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim 4-2. Jalen Dukes got the win. Your guy Andrew Heaney took the loss, Dan, but your other guy, Sergio Romo, got the save. So kind of even out for you there. The Cardinals beat the Rockies 3-2. I actually watched this game. Chasen Greve got the win, and Wade Davis blew the save in the ninth for the Rockies there. And the White Sox get a win against the Royals 6-4. Xavier Cedeno gets the win. Jason Adam took the loss, and Luis Avalon picked up the save in that game. So there you go. You're all caught up with what went on, and I know we got a few games that are getting ready to roll out here. But, Dan, I wanted to jump over to the Giants, because we mentioned it a little yesterday. You know, they lost Johnny Cueto. He's going to have Tommy John surgery, so you have to wonder how long they've lost him for. I mean, is he going to come back at the All-Star break next year, or is next year all the way gone? They are actually over 500. They're 55-54. They're five games out of first place, but they have three teams in front of them. You know, Dan, do they sell?
Well, I mean, is it the podcast or are we live on MLB Network? Because if we're live on MLB Network, I mean, they should trade Baumgartner, McCutcheon, Matt Cain, you know, Joe Panic, Brandon Crawford. I was just kidding with the Matt Cain because he's not playing anymore. But, I mean, they should just get rid of everybody and get nothing but prospects.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the big talk there. You know, I mean, you hit it right on the head. That's exactly what they're saying they should do. I don't know if you know, when you look at it, I mean, you go, well, you know, they're really not that far out when you think about it. But, man,
no,
there's a
not.
Lot of teams. I mean, even with the wild card, they would have to jump six or seven teams because there's a tie up there. So probably seven teams just to get a wild card spot. And, you know, I mean, I don't know. It's kind of baffling. But, you know, the big talk is you deal McCutcheon because he's in the last year of his deal. Again, I think we went over this yesterday. I don't know if his name was one of the ones they thought was going to be traded. But I don't know what you get for a couple-month rental on an Andrew McCutcheon. But do they have any other tradable pieces? I mean, you know, you're not giving up Baumgartner. You know, Samard just hurt, obviously, now Cueto's hurt. So, I mean, yeah, do you have anybody you can deal?
I mean, the only guys you really have that you could quite possibly deal would be one of the Brandons. Or, you know, if you can finagle a deal for Longoria. I forget who plays, you know, one of the corners. But I really don't see anybody movable. And, you know, here's the difference with this team. This team has sold out every game for almost the last, like, three or four seasons. You know, they've won three World Series in this decade. Sellout record. Do the Yankees ever rebuild? No. Do they draw? Yes.
Well,
do we not always
see
people behind? Yeah, kind of, but, you know, not completely. They didn't do a Cubs thing. And, you know, again, believe what you want. Theo's got this five-year plan because he wants to tear it down to rebuild it up. And Dan the Man, not coming from Big Jack, you're wearing a foil hat. And it has nothing to do with the fact that the Cubs have all these lawsuits with, you know, the rooftop owners. But yet, magically, once the lawsuits are thrown out, they immediately started spending money like I said they would. So, you know,
oh,
the Cubs will never have another teardown. rebuild. And you don't do that with the Giants either. You don't do that with a team like this. The Dodgers are never going to do it. You know, but I'll let you kind of touch on that while I take my two-minute break.
Yeah, you know, just, you know, kind of looking at the Giants, you know, if you find a taker for McCutcheon, okay, maybe you move him for a lower-level guy, or maybe somebody is interested in a healthy Hunter Pence. You know, maybe you bring a couple guys off the books, because the Giants have came out and said they want to be players in the Bryce Harper sweepstakes next season. So, you know, obviously by moving one of those two guys, you immediately open up a spot for him. You know, they have a couple rookie outfielders, you know, Austin Slater, and is it Steven Dugar or Duggar? Slater has hit really well in his small sample size. He's hit 305. Duggar, not so much, just 254. But, you know, maybe if you move a McCutcheon or a Pence, you could get more playing time for one of these guys. You know, but, yeah, it's a veteran team. I mean, I know, you know, Brandon Belt has had some injuries. I actually think he's on the DL right now. You know, Longoria was down for a little while. You know, the Panda kind of bounced back. He's not hitting great, but he's done well for them, but now he's out. You know, Joe Panic was out for a while. I think Brandon Crawford may be the only regular who hasn't missed time. No, McCutcheon isn't either. He's played in 105 games. Crawford played in 104. So, yeah, again, you know, it's just kind of, you know, been injury riddled, and you know, pitching wise, the same thing. You start looking at the starters, and can you name the Giant pitcher who's made the most starts this year? Yeah, I didn't think you could. It's actually Garrett Holland, who has made 20 starts. Believe it or not, then it's Chris Stratton and Andrew Suarez who have made 18. No, I still haven't got the Bumgarner yet. Ty Black is fourth. Then Bumgarner jumps in. Him, Derek Rodriguez, and Jeff Samardzija has all made 10 starts for the team, while Johnny Cueto had made 9 before getting injured. So, yeah, you want to know what some of the problems are? Well, there are some of the problems. You know, even when Samardzija's been healthy, he hasn't pitched like Samardzija. He's 1-5 with a 6.25 ERA. Cueto was really good, 3-2 with a 3.23 ERA. You know, Bumgarner's been, you know, you can tell he's still kind of rounding into form. He's 3-4, but that ERA is 3.06. You know, Rodriguez has been a really nice surprise, 5-1 with a 2.59 ERA. You wonder if he could be, a consistent player in this rotation. That would be huge. But, yeah, it's just been, it's been kind of a crapshoot. You know, and for whatever reason, and, you know, they're not that old when, you know, you look at the team, but, man, they've had just health issue after health issue, and I don't know what the heck it is. You know, why it kind of keeps happening to them. And, you know, I mean, if you, you know, obviously, you know, it's just one of those things, but if you didn't know better, I mean, you would say they were jinxed. But, yeah, you know, looking at their DL, Brandon Bell, they have absolutely no timetable for return. So is he done for the year? Who knows? Mentioned Cueto. Samardzija has a shoulder. He's another guy. They don't have a timetable for him coming back. So Sandoval's in the same boat. He had a right hamstring strain, and then right now they're not sure when he'll return. Not about Hunter Strickland, who had been doing the closing until he stupidly punched something and fractured his right hand. He was scheduled to be out 6 to 8 weeks. So he's probably looking at another 3 to 4 weeks before he returns. So, yeah, I don't know. You look at the bullpen with, you know, with Strickland to pick 15 saves. The guys around him have been really, Smith's having a fantastic year, 1.31 ERA. Tony Watson has kind of rounded back into form after having a little bit of a struggle with the Pirates. His ERA is 2.06. Reyes, and I'm going to probably butcher his last name here, but I'm going to go with Maranta, has a 1.84 ERA in 51 games for the Giants. You know, Melanson has had his struggle since coming back from injury. That ERA is 3.66. He's only had one save. It's, you know, it's just hasn't, hasn't really quite rounded back into form yet, so you have to wonder. But, yeah, the starters have just been so beat up, and I was talking about them not being that old. Here I can start with Suarez is 25, Rodriguez is 26, Stratton is 27, Bumgarner's 28, and even Samardzija is just 33. Believe it or not, Johnny Cueto's only 32, even though it seems like he's been around a long time. So they're really young in the rotation, and they've had some surprises. I think Derek Rodriguez has been a real nice surprise. You just got to see if maybe he can keep rolling it out, and they build pieces. But yeah, I mean, who are you selling? You know, like I said, okay, you sell McCutchen, you sell Pence, you open up some playing time for Slater and Duggar, but I don't think you're getting a big return there. You know, if you want to sell off your bullpen pieces, I think you could probably, I think somebody would probably pay real well for Will Smith right now with the year he's having. You could get something for Tony Watson. Even Sam Dyson may draw a little interest with the way things are nowadays, but you know, you're not getting anything for Derek Holland. So, you really need to sell it. You know, and obviously you're not trading Buster Posey. I don't care how old he is. He's only 31, believe it or not. But, you know, he's not going anywhere. So,
no.
Yeah, I just don't know.
You know, selling Posey, I think, would hurt more the makeup of the team, but the fan base.
Yeah, well, you know, like I was saying when you were gone, Dan, I'm okay if they want to try to move Pence or McCutchen or even both.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, we talked earlier in the year that they were really interested in being in the Bryce Harper sweepstakes. So, you know,
yeah.
by shuffling one of those guys off, not only do you get playing time for Slater and Duggar, but you've got an opening now to go say, hey, Bryce, look at this, man. We're ready-made for you. Here's, you know, $300, $400, $500 million. Come be a Giant. So,
well, not only that, I mean, yeah. You know, you brought up Melanson. Is there any value for Melanson?
Not now, I don't think. I think he's struggled too much, and he's got a big contract. So, but, you know, another thing you could do, you know, if Belt comes back healthy, you can always, you know, let him play in the corner part-time and save Buster a little bit and let him play some first base. You know, Nick Hundley's been a solid backup catcher, but you can always go out and upgrade in the off season. You know, there's always kind of those catchers floating around. You know, and I mean, you could extend Buster's career a little bit by, you know, letting Belt play, you know, between, it would probably be first and left field, and then Buster could split time between catcher and first base. You know, and I'm sure this is all stuff that the Giants have thought about. I don't think I'm breaking any new ground here. But,
no.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I just, you know, looking at the team, I just don't see a lot of sellable pieces. So, you know, I don't think they're going to be all that active come, you know, the waiver trade deadline here, even though there's a lot of guys out there, like you said, on the MLB Network who think they're going to be. I'm just, you know, like I said, maybe one move. You know, maybe one of the outfielders goes unless they can get some of their relievers through waivers. But, you know, again, I mean, at you know, 54 and 50, and I think I heard today they play, I believe the number I heard was 36% of their remaining games against the NL West. And obviously, anytime you're playing your own division, that gives you a huge opportunity to make up ground. You know, I mean, if Bumgarner gets right and it looks like he's headed that way, Rodriguez stays good. If frickin' Samardzija can just come back and give you anything close to what he used to be, you know, while you are behind a lot of teams, you're not that far out of it. You know what I mean? You know, okay, I can see, okay, the Reds want to give up. That's fine. You know, the Orioles, the White Sox, the Royals. You know, that's cool. You guys throw in the towel. I get it. But, man, you don't know when you're going to be back here. And especially, you know, the Giants have had a couple down years. So to kind of be surging back, I think you should just keep going for it, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, caught me mid-yawn. You know, you mentioned the Royals and the White Sox. I mean, I think it's blatantly obvious. But I think with the White Sox, you know, picking up Soria, I think that was just so they could do what they did and, you know, turn him into a couple more prospects.
Yeah, well, remember the Cubs did that early in their rebuild, too. You know, the one name that jumps out at me is Scott Feldman, because that's who they got Jake Arrieta for. You know, they brought him into Chicago. He had a fantastic year, and they were able to spin him into, you know, obviously Arrieta went on to win a Cy Young. So, you know, I mean, that's – those are the kind of things you do when you're rebuilding. You find kind of those fringe, especially pitchers. You know, I mean, if you can hit on a veteran pitcher who, you know, say just happens to be on a one-year deal or maybe a year with an option – you know, you can turn that into something that becomes usable for you. So, you know, I always think it's kind of a solid move when a team does that. That, and it never hurts to have a veteran arm with your young guys. You know, somebody who's kind of been there. So, you know, just kind of. Kind of goes that way. But, yeah, you know, the like I said, the Giants were kind of the one interesting team. Oddly, Dan, searching here, I've just learned that the Angels are actually two games under 500 now. I thought they were still 500. so they have fallen two games under. They're 10 games out of the wild card. So the MVP is not going to the playoffs again. So there you go. Yeah, I don't know how that works out for you.
No, and I mean, with the moves they made, less Shohei Ohtani, you know, I thought this team would kind of, you know, I didn't think they were just going to run away with the American League, but I thought they'd make a good run and really hold down the West. But it just didn't seem to work out at all. I mean, Ian Kinsler was one of their pickups, and now he's on the best team in baseball.
I think I'm assuming you've probably learned this from fantasy, because I know you always draft a lot of these guys, but their damn starters just can't stay healthy. You know, I mean, because I know, you know, like I remember, I think like you've had Garrett Richards, and I think you've had Andrew Heaney. You know, maybe not this year, but I know through the years, and, you know, both guys are hurt. Both guys have been hurt. Richards is on the 60-D DL, and I think somebody said he might be looking at Tommy John again. You know, so, you know, you just,
well,
it, for whatever reason, doesn't work out for them with pitching.
The funny thing is I've never actually drafted them. It's just, you know, matter of chance. Well, no, if for whatever reason – you know, the Angels, well, number one, like you mentioned, Angels starting pitching, they kind of do what the Cubs used to do and more or less what the White Sox used to do. And that was just go after big names, which, I don't know. You know, Justin Upton, I just, you know, hey, good solid signing, but I think they paid too much. I don't know if that's just me. But, you know, it was almost like the equivalent of, you know, the Cubs getting Milton Bradley, you know, kind of in that range where, he's, you know, you got a solid defender, but I think you paid a little too much for it. And you focused on all these other moves when you're not really shoring up your starting pitching, you know, taking that risk on Tim Lincecum, that was a no risk. That was a, you know, you win. If it works out, you win big. If it doesn't work out, you didn't really lose anything in that deal. But go back, was it last year or the year before? Who was the hottest pitcher on that team? And that was Jerome Walton. You know, I think what we refer to as a journeyman.
Yeah.
You know, he shouldn't have been the number one. You know, he shouldn't have been the number one in their rotation. But because no one could stay healthy, he became the number one. And then, you know, you mentioned how I got them. Part of the reason I never draft Angels pitching is they don't, for whatever reason, Garrett Richards, Heaney, they never seem to really take off. So then, you know, the people who drafted them get rid of them, And then there they are sitting, and I'm one of those guys towards the end of the season. I just drop a guy, pick up a new pitcher. And, you know, those were – Angel pitching was one I went after. And then they got hot last year towards the end of the season. And then come this year, I'm like, these are going to be my draftees late in the draft. And, you know, they were gone a lot quicker than I expected them to go.
Yeah. Well, you know, and like, you know, even Ohtani was pitching well. You know, 9 starts, he was 4-1 with a 3.10 ERA. You know, he probably won't pitch again this year. You know, it looked like they had finally found a closer. You know, early in the year they had that, I'm going to go with Keenan Middleton, who had picked up 6 saves really early. He had a 2.04 ERA in the 16 games he appeared in. Blows out his elbow. He's got Tommy John. Now we won't see him till next year. You know, he was just 24. Yeah. They looked like, you know, they had found a guy who could close for, you know, 5-10 years as long as he stayed healthy. And what happened? Well, he didn't stay healthy. So,
well, and the,
you know, it, yeah, thing that, whatever it is, it's like an angel's curse with pitching.
Yeah, well, and the other side of it with Ohtani is this wasn't a surprise. This was just waiting to happen.
Yeah, you know, we they did their best with him. You know, I mean, they delayed his starts, and he only pitched once a week, and, you know, they gave him time off, and, you know, they did everything that it looked like they were going to be able to do, and he still broke down. So you've got to wonder what that kind of means for the future. I mean, can he be a pitcher?
Well, and that begs the question – or that, I think that kind of answers the question you had prior to his signing. And, you know, and I think the biggest question on everyone's mind was, well, why isn't he waiting until that mark when, you know, he could go out for max deals, so to speak, and not take that underage deal. I forget what they call it, but they refer to it as, you know, if he would have waited, what was it, a year or two more, he could have made a hell of a lot more money.
A year.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, after the physical and the determination that he had issues with his arm, now we know why. Then we knew why he didn't wait. Because it's better, I think, for him to get into the league now and, you know, deal with it afterwards.
So, yeah, well, you know, and interestingly, Dan, I'm sure you've noticed, like I did, that all the Rookie of the Year talk has cooled off. Even though he's back and swinging the bat, do you realize, Dan, he's hitting just .258 now that the league is kind of adjusted to him?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, that all kind of went away. You know, it takes the league a little while to figure you out. And, yeah, he's what I would call, probably in today's game he's an above-average hitter, but in reality he's a below-average hitter. .258 with 9 home runs and 25 RBIs in 56 games. So... so much for the – remember there was talk about him being the best player in baseball. Look at this guy. Look what he's doing. We're 2 months into the season, guys. Let's relax. You know, I mean, I remember early on we had talked where they were giving him – you know, he was the Rookie of the Year, the MVP, and the Cy Young. He was going to be the first guy to ever do it. Well, he's not going to finish in the top 20 of any of those awards. Maybe Rookie of the Year because writers are stupid and they may vote him where he doesn't belong. But, yeah, it's just like, really? So, yeah, that's why you always got to show a little restraint before you start shooting your mouth off, guys. And, you know, I understand you're on TV and you need stuff to talk about, but, man, you should be smarter than me. Bottom line, you know, that's all there is to it. You should be smarter than me. So I just don't get it. So, hey, your guy Didi hit a 3-run home run.
Ooh.
And I don't think I have him in my FanDuel last night either. So, you know, just kind of didn't work out. Yeah, I'm trying to remember who the heck I went with at shortstop. I probably could have went with Didi instead of him. So,
I went with the number 4 in the batting lineup today for the home run derby.
Oh, yeah.
Javi.
Well, that's good.
JD Martinez and Bryce Harper. All cleaning up.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I know I went with Harper. I have Nelly Cruz. And, I actually went with Longoria tonight. So, you know, oddly, I didn't even remember that. I know we were talking about the Giants, but, I ended up with Longo. I figured, what the heck, I'll try something a little different because there was no Mike Trout available. You know, he had the early game. So, which, again, like I said, I don't think he played in because he was hurt. So, we'll have to see if it's anything that keeps him out. But yeah. You mentioned it. I know. I guess I'm sure we could talk about it a little bit here. But yeah. Hey, football starts tonight. Yay, football! So yeah, it's the Bears. So we're local here. Look at that. The Bears and the Ravens. I know I heard a report this morning. Jordan Howard kind of let the cat out of the bag that he's not playing tonight. And he also mentioned that good old Mitchell Trubisky, the Biscuit, won't be playing tonight either, Dan. Why the hell am I going to turn this?
Well, Brokon Smith won't be playing either, right?
No, he still doesn't have a contract. They're still trying to work out the language. I always assumed all contracts were in English, but that's just me. No, I'm kidding. I know it's some goofy other there, but, you know.
Well, you know, I think they're trying to hammer out the fact that in the end, what I surmise from the article I read on the issue, and it's the player helmet issue, where if you lead with it and tackle a guy, I don't remember. I didn't read the whole thing. There's so many rules that I just, whatever. Basically, his aggressive style of play, he doesn't want to be responsible for any fines, and he wants the players to take that up.
Right, and then didn't it also mention that if he gets suspended for it, he still wants to be paid?
Yeah.
I thought was part of the hang up as well. Yeah, I thought that was it. So, but yeah, it's. You know, I mean, I'm sure they'll work it out. I mean, obviously, we don't need he doesn't need to be playing right now anyways. It's one preseason game. And, you know, you and I now, you know, I mean, you've noticed now that preseason really runs 2 or 3 weeks into the season anyways. So.
Yeah, and, you know, with this kind of stuff, I mean, I remember what was it, San Diego's draft pick, that quarterback kid, you know, held out, whatever. But with what's going on with Smith, you know, obviously the Bears don't want to be as a team that loses draft pick, but is this something you really want part of your team with the image that the NFL has right now?
So, wait, which guy was who did what now?
No, I'm regardless of the other stuff, with what Roquan Smith wants and what you're anticipating is that he's going to be suspended for violating, you know, safety rules and such. Is this really the direction you want to go with the image that the NFL has right now?
Yeah, you know, I think the big issue for him is, didn't he just draw a whole bunch of attention to himself? If you're a referee, aren't you kind of looking at him? Because he basically admitted that he's going to take cheap shots or lead with his helmet or whatever you want to look at it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just thought it was kind of strange. But who knows, right? As always, you know, if you came out and listened to this live, it's awesome that you just get to the end. But don't forget, you can go over to tunein.com and listen to the podcast every time you get it.
Of course, I'm ready.